So we've been working through this idea of the tongue. And today, it's called the training of the tongue. It's actually how do you train a child's tongue. But you know, as I began to work through this, and you're going to see this in the message, you may go, I don't have children. Well, this training of the tongue, the same principles apply to us as well. So I personally had quite the problem, have always had quite the problem with my tongue. So growing up, I had brothers who were older than me and one younger than me, and we were pretty close in age, and I just couldn't stop talking at the wrong time. I would say the wrong things, and I don't mean like, oh, poor me, I mean mean things. Lying was a big problem in my life. I'm sure that you've had the same experience in your life. That your tongue has gotten you into a lot of trouble. So when you think about your children, what's the greatest gift that you can give to your child? What's the one thing that will help them to succeed? It's the training of their tongue. It's them being able to get control of their tongue. I've been traveling quite a bit, and I got to go and see people. I live here, right? So got to interact with a lot of different kinds of people here. And I got to go to California and interact with people there. And they're going through different things, but you see what's going on. But it's a really different lifestyle. And I got to go to Michigan, and it's farm country there. It's a really different lifestyle. But one of the things that's really, really consistent throughout it is one of the major problems they have in their lives. What is destroying their relationships is what they say. Sometimes what they don't say. It's that it seems as though their tongue is ruling their life instead of them ruling their tongue. How's that for you? How's that for you? Do you rule your tongue? Or does your tongue rule you? So how do you train it? We're going to jump in and we're going to take a look at that. And the first thing I want you to see, the first biblical principle we want to see and what God has to say about that is this. If you do not lead your tongue, it will lead you. If you're not in control of your tongue is going to be in control of you. I know a lot of you, and you know me, and I've been around you here at church, and you seem to be pretty good at controlling your tongue. But I also know that when you go home, you're not so good at controlling your tongue. It gets you into a lot of trouble. And your children, as they're growing up, if you don't teach your child how to control their tongue, then their tongue is going to control them. And that's going to impact their friendships. It's going to impact their marriage. It's going to impact their careers. It impacts your day-to-day joy in a huge way. Because when your tongue controls you, it's almost as if you're not. You have no control at all. In James chapter 3, he says this. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect. Did you see that? If you never say the wrong thing, if you actually have control of your tongue, you are perfect. Able to keep their whole body in check. Now, what are you trying to teach your children to do? What are you trying to do in your own life? What's really important to you? How many of you like education is really important? So you spend a lot of time, a lot of money working on their education. How many of you, their diet is really important, what they eat? You're really concerned that they grow up eating healthy. You want them to be able to eat healthy. How many of you are concerned with their bodies? Like you spend a lot of money on coaches. You spend a lot of money and time helping them develop their bodies. Where they, when they're really young, you hire coaches. You put them on teams that cost money where you want them to develop them. And it's so important to you that they get that developed. And emotionally, you're just really worried about all that. And you're concerned about all that. Guess what? Guess what? The Bible, God's telling you, if you train your child's tongue, if they get control of their tongue, they're able to keep their whole body in check. Let that sink in. Now, he goes on and he talks through this passage. There's a couple other things he says. And as he works through it, he says, listen, this is the way that, this is how powerful the tongue is. Take a horse. How do you control a horse? You put a bit in his mouth. You control his tongue. Huge 2,000-pound horse. How do you control him? With that little tongue. He talks about a ship. And the ship is huge. Giant steamship. Giant ships. How do you control it? With a little rudder in the back. He goes so far as to say, listen, almost any animal, it comes down to we can tame a lot of animals, but it's almost impossible to tame the tongue. It's like a fire. It's so powerful in what it does. It's so powerful in what the evil it can create and also the good that it can do. So he walks through this tongue thing, and he really gets to the end. It's like he says, well, it's almost impossible to control the tongue. And then he adds this to it. And this is key to what we're going to talk about today. If you miss this piece, you're never going to be able to control the tongue. You're never going to be able to train your child's tongue. This piece is key. You see, the training of the tongue starts and ends with the heart. Did you catch that? The training of the tongue starts and ends with the heart. You see, Jesus even said, he said that the overflowing of the heart comes out through the tongue, through the mouth, through what we speak. It comes from our hearts. Now, he goes on to say this. In James, he says this. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. That's pretty strong. Let's go over that real quickly again. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. The issue is the heart. The issue is the training of the heart and the tongue. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Now listen to this last line. Catch this last line. Think about yourself, but more importantly, think about your children. What do you want for your children's life? Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. When your child goes to college, what do you want them to reap? Righteousness. Now, you may or may not remember, but righteousness has incredible byproduct. All throughout the Bible, all through the Psalms and the Proverbs and all throughout the Bible, God says this over and over again. The fruit of righteousness is it's incredible. It's power, it's strength, it's peace. It's incredible, the byproduct. It's prosperity. The byproduct of righteousness is exactly what you want for your child. See, when they go to college, if they can control their tongue, instead of college destroying them, they are going to rule. You see, when they get married, righteousness is going to rule in their lives. When they become parents, what kind of parents do you want your grandchildren to have? Those that have a harvest of righteousness. When they go into their career, you want them to have a harvest of righteousness, the byproduct of righteousness. How does that happen? It happens when they learn to control their tongue. When they have the ability to rule their tongue instead of their tongue ruling them. And where does that come from? It comes from the heart. It comes from helping them learn how to have a heart that is full of wisdom, that comes from God and not themselves. See, the person who has a person who's full of wisdom from themselves, did you hear what they said? He said it's unspiritual, it's earthly, and it's demonic. It has terrible fruit. So, you got the idea. We're going to train the heart, and that's how we train the tongue. A couple more principles along the way. One is we're going to build it on grace and God's word. What do you mean build it on grace? Well, foundation of grace is that when we are training our children, we don't do it based on what they deserve. We do it based on grace. We do it on the fact that we're going to treat them like they're everything we ever dreamed they'd be. In other words, we're not going to train them to be able to control their tongue so they become who we want them to be. No, no, no. We are going to train them that, hey, they're everything we already want them to be. We're going to help them control their tongue because that is who they are. We're going to build it on grace and God's word. Why God's word? We see God's word has the power to rule the tongue. It has the power to change the heart. Remember, it's about the heart. And God's word is the only thing that can change the heart. It's when we memorize God's word, and it's really clear in the Old Testament, it's not only when we memorize God's word, but it's when we take it and we put it into practice where life is really happening. What they're doing in Sky Kids is amazing in terms of helping your children memorize God's word. That's what Awana is all about. That's why you need to be here Sunday night encouraging these kids, because we are encouraging them to memorize God's word. And that's fantastic. That's the first half. The second half is when adults help them to apply it to what they're going through in their life at any given moment. When they face a problem, when they face an opportunity, how do I take God's word and apply it to God's word? So, we're going to build it on grace and God's word. Secondly, we're going to enforce it by consistent discipline and great coaching. We're going to enforce it. Enforce what? The training of the tongue. By consistent discipline and great coaching. So sometimes when you get the idea, we're going to train, it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. You get the idea that, okay, so if we can get their heart in the right place, it'll automatically transfer into them being able to control their tongue. How's that work for you? How's that work for you? Not so good, does it? Is it not true that you have great conviction that you're not able to actually practice? Why? Because great conviction and the change of the heart sets you up, but you got to train it. You got to work out. You got to do this consistently. You've got to discipline it, which means two sides of disciplining. Disciplining is, hey, that hurts when I do it. That's not good. I'm called out. There's some kind of pain associated with doing it wrong. And then there's coaching. Coaching is rewarding when you do it right. Coaching is telling and teaching, training, teaching them how to do it, showing them how to do it, and then rewarding them when they do it well. And so we're going to enforce it by consistent discipline and great coaching. No, okay, good. So here's what it's all about. How do you train the tongue? You start with the heart. Matter of fact, you end with the heart. It's always connected to the heart. It's, wait a minute, what's behind the tongue? Why are you saying what you say? Where are you after? Who are you? But then it's also the training, the discipline of the specific things that we say. What do we say and when do we say them? So I'm just going to give you one practical way to do this. You can come up with lots of other ways once I give you the big principle. I've already given the big principle, but once you watch this at work, you might come up with better ways to do this. But this is the way that we did it. And we've watched our children do it with their children. It's just fantastic to watch how it works. It's very simple. You have either a dime jar or a quarter jar. Or if you're a fairly rich family, you might have to have a dollar or a $10 jar. But this is how it works. You take the jar and everybody in the family gets it, not just the children. Why? Because in every family, The adults need their tongues to be trained just as much as the children. You get to be a part of it along with them. And you put in a certain amount of money in the jar. And then when someone does really great with their tongue, then you take money out of the other person's jars and you put it into their jar. And then when they don't do so well with their tongue, they say the wrong thing, they say it for the wrong reasons, they're hurtful, then you take the money out of that jar and you put it in everybody else's jar. Sometimes you can even have some extra back here for when they do really well, and you just add that to their part of it. And this becomes the way the family interacts. This is how we do it. We all have our jars. And so it really does work that some days the three-year-old loses a dime and it goes to mom and dad. But it can also be days when the three-year-old and the five-year-old and the six-year-old all gain quite a bit and dad loses a lot because he doesn't do so well. So let's walk about, not wait a minute, but so is there a list? Is there like a set of words that you don't use? Like in our family, we're a little extreme, and we had this same principle when our kids were growing up. And I got to be honest with you, once they kind of left, I got a little lax. But all of our children, they don't allow their children to say the word stupid. Can't say it. You can't say the word stupid. You can't say idiot. There's a lot of things you can't say. I use the word idiot quite a bit. So I get in trouble quite a bit when I go to my grandkids' houses. But what's the list? What's the words? Is it curse words? Is it what? Well, wait, you can't just make a list. Matter of fact, a number of you might be doing that right now, and you think you're training your children's tongues because you have a list of words that they cannot say. But you're not impacting the heart at all. So this is how you do it. You go, wait a minute, what's the principle? What's the biblical principle behind how we use our tongues? There's a lot that the Bible talks about, but we're just going to pick on a couple. First of all, our basic idea was encourage, don't discourage. We got that from Ephesians chapter 4. You encourage, you don't discourage. In other words, the way that you use your tongue and the way that you interact from your heart is my goal in communication is to build their heart, to encourage them, never to discourage them. The Bible says it this way. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Oh, pretty cool principle, huh? See, that's not a list of words. That's actually what you're doing from one heart to another heart. What one person's doing to another person. So we like to do it in form of questions. But we don't let the child answer their own questions and we don't answer our own questions. It has to come from the Bible. So it goes like this. So they're interacting and they're talking and they say something that's not so nice. I jumped around a little bit there. The next is the foundational principle. Would it have been best to say nothing? Now, if you've ever done anything in athletics, you know that the first thing they teach you is the stance, right? So in football, the stance is you get down like this, right? And then down, set, and then you get down like this. Your back has to be down. Your head has to be back. This has to be flat. Your feet have to be ready. And you can't have too much weight on your fingers so you can really take off. And then when you take off, you have to keep your head down. It's all about the stance. Basketball, same thing. You play defense, you got to get down like this. Every sport I've ever been in, that's what they do. I did CrossFit. You know what they did? First thing they did. Listen, you got to learn the stance. This is how you do it. I think this is the stance to training the tongue. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent and discerning if they hold their tongue. What's the foundational thing that you need to learn? It's this. Your tongue doesn't rule you. The first thing you need to learn is to keep your tongue. Well, I had all these feelings. I had to get it out. You don't want me to suppress myself, do you? I do want you to suppress yourself. Why? Because the first thing that comes out of your mouth is almost always worldly wisdom. It's almost always hurtful and selfish and vain. You know what else is true? So is almost always the second thing. And for me, the third thing and the fourth thing and the fifth thing. I have to go a long ways. You've experienced this in writing emails. Something happens and you're ready to fire off an email. The email's that long. And then you read it. You're like, oh, that's a little too strong. It's half as long. It's a little too strong. By the time I get done, it's one sentence. How about you? Right? Why? Because the first thing I was going to say, not good, not wise, not helpful. The best thing I could do is keep my mouth or my tongue under control until I've worked it through and thought it through and had time to go, wait a minute, is it worldly wisdom? Or is it God's wisdom that's going to flow out of my heart? That's the foundational stance that you want to be able to learn in your own life and you want to be able to teach your children. Next question. Was it helpful? The passage says, don't let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth. It's not, was it true? It's not, was it, did it need to be said? It's not, but you didn't understand what they said. No, the question is, was it helpful? Is what you said helpful? Now, if we're worried about just training the tongue, then that's not the number one question. The number one question is, did I get my rights? Did I get to do what I needed to do? And did I protect my rights? And did I get... But we're trying to train the heart and the tongue. And as followers of Christ, he said, no unwholesome words come out of your mouth. See, it's not a list of curse words. If that's where you're starting, okay, that's good. But that's not anywhere close to where God wants you to end up. He wants you to end up where you're like, wait, was it helpful? Because if it's not helpful, I'm not going to say it. Who did it build up? The idea behind building up that I encourage someone, that because of what I said, it caused them to become stronger. It caused them to realize something that was really true. It caused them to see who Jesus was or who Jesus was in them. It caused them to see the potential they had or who they could be. You literally built them up. Did it meet their needs? The passage says that not only is it helpful, but did it meet their needs? Did you say it right when they needed to hear it? See, sometimes something you have to say is something they really do need to hear, but it's not the time to say it. It's to say it. And so you ask the question, did it meet their needs? Who did it benefit? Did it benefit you or did it benefit them? It sort of benefited them, but was it really meant to benefit them? And did it? But only what is helpful built for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Wow. You see, and then you take your quarters. And you move the quarters around based on that. So, when the little guy walks into the room and somebody stole his toy or somebody borrowed his toy and he's throwing a fit, the issue isn't, did you say the right word? The issue is, whoa, time out. Is this unwholesome talk? Who are you trying to help with what you're saying here? Are you only trying to help yourself or are you trying to help somebody else? That's how you decide how you move the quarters, who gets rewarded and who loses. Because at the beginning, that first stance, when he learns to control his tongue, it saves you a bunch of money. If you can learn to control your tongue, the money stays in your jar. If you can just learn to control your tongue and say nothing, the money stays in your jar. But then if you can learn to be helpful, ka-ching, if you can learn to be helpful at just the right time to meet people's needs, ka-ching, if you can learn to be helpful and pour into people's lives, ka-ching, 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 and you begin to see what God says is true, then when you control your tongue, you get the fruit of righteousness. Was it loving? Listen to this passage. In other words, this is how we decide how we're going to speak. Love is patient. So was it patient? Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking and is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. How do you get your list? How do you know? So even husbands and wives, like, hey, she comes to you and says, honey, you're not, it doesn't feel like you love me. You're not nice. You're not kind. You're like, oh, what are you talking about? What should I have said? Go to this list right here. Is this the list you've been speaking from? It's how you train your child. Are you beginning to get the picture? The list is a list for the heart. And out of the abundance of the heart overflows to the mouth. The last one's, it's really good. Are you shining like a star? In other words, you get to say to each other, hey, with what you're saying right now, are you shining like a star? My argument's true and it needs to be said, and did you see what she did, and I this is not fair, and I need, but are you shining like a star? What am I talking about, this star thing? Listen to what the Bible says. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. For some of you, parents, not children, parents, you're going to have nothing to say. Arguing and grumbling has become a lifestyle for you. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, a generation that does nothing but complain and that's all they do is argue and complain. But not us. Not those who are training their tongues. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. The word of life is the word of God. It's Jesus. As you're taking what God has to say and you're making that what fills your heart, that you memorize and you practice and you put into place, guess what overflows? What overflows is that you shine like a star. What do you mean? I mean, people are like, what's with you? Like, you seem to have true joy and true peace. You're always saying things that encourage people, and you seem to know how to say the right thing at just the right time to build them up. How do you do that? Oh, I've been training. I've been training my tongue, and I started with my heart. Skyline, Jesus has called you, and it's called me, to reach the town of Bloomfield and the towns that surround it. The number one power we have in our lives is to be shining stars. And we don't become shining stars because we go do amazing, great, awesome, unbelievable things. We do it because we let the Word of God, we let Jesus Himself rule our hearts. And that abundance comes out through our tongues. What are you going to do with what we talked about today? What are you going to do? Are you going to say, hey, that was nice, that was great? Now, this training is a 24/7 training. Are you ready to accept that? In other words, I think the Bible makes a good case that this training is more important than education. I believe that this training is way more important than sports. It's more important than fashion. It's more important than acceptance. Why? Because if you train your child here and you train yourself here, you're going to experience the fruit of righteousness in all of those other areas. But if you put this on the shelf, or you just do it sometimes when it's convenient, when you remember, then you're going to pour your life and you're going to pour into your kids' lives in all of those areas, and they will have fruit. But not the fruit you want. We're going to sing a song after I pray, and in that song it talks about love on the line and how Christ gave his life for you. He put his love on the line to invite you into his righteousness so you could experience this. There's a passage in the Old Testament that says, God has a plan for you. Not a plan for destruction, but a plan for life. It's so encouraging. Great, God has a plan for me. But you got to choose the plan. You got to follow the plan. Christ did die for you. He does love you. But you got to pick up the jar. You got to decide, what's the most important thing in your life, and what are you going to pour your life into? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this amazing, simple principle. I just want to thank you so much for the fruit it's had in my life. I want to thank you so much for the fruit it's yet to have in my life and how much more I can still grow. And I want to pray for our church that this church be the church that shines like a star. Why? Because those people are so busy getting rid of unwholesome talk and grabbing a hold of speaking the right thing at the right time to build others up that they just don't have time to complain or argue. And then, Lord, I want to pray for the individual people this morning who heard this, and you talk to them, and you talk to them. They need to do something about this, and they need to do something about it now. Don't let that slip away. Between you and them, Lord, while they're singing, cement that conviction in their hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.